Well, I think I'm going to go just with this. There we go. All right. So most of you know that my granddaughter does not like me. She is afraid of me. She still is. I mean, it's getting better. It is getting better. I will say that. But one of the things that she did like about me is that I would play peekaboo with her. And so she'd be in her high chair, and I would put, I don't know, if we had a bowl on the table, I'd take the bowl and I'd put it over her head, and then she'd go like this. She wasn't sure what I was doing, and then I would take it off and I would go, peekaboo, and she'd go, and then put the bowl back on her head. Wait for a while, take it off, peekaboo. You know how the game is played, right? And every single time she was like, she thought this was the greatest thing. And I thought, okay, I'm making some headway here. So I decided, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just leave the bowl off, and she'll be like that all the time. Yeah, you're starting to laugh. You see where this is going. Because, you know, as long as the bowl was off for a while and I was just grandma, then no, she wanted nothing to do with me again. That whole effect of, wow, I really see you, and then it was gone. Disappointing for this grandma, but pretty predictable, right? You become the same old person you were before, and people revert to the way they acted before. Now, today we have transfiguration, and what transfiguration means is a real change. It's a change in someone's appearance. It's a change in someone's substance. It's a change in who they are. It's not just outwardly, but inwardly as well. And so the disciples get a taste of this. And Mary talked about light letting us see what's around us. Well, that's what happens here. God is playing peekaboo. God is shining a light on who Jesus is. And by doing that, God shines a light on who God is. So we have these mountaintop experiences, if you will. It starts at Jesus' baptism right at the beginning of Mark, where Mark says, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. God comes to Jesus' baptism and God says, hey, attaboy, Jesus. This is great. You're great. You're going to do great things. And then Jesus is immediately sent out into the wilderness to exist and to think about what he's got coming up. And then he goes into ministry. And then today we have this mountaintop experience where we get Jesus and a few of his chosen disciples, they go up to this mountaintop, and holy cow, you got God doing the same thing. The heavens are ripped open, and God's saying, this is my son. This is my son. I love him. He's awesome, and he is me. And the disciples are all, yes, we made the right choice. We're all going to be glorified like this. This is going to be great. And then they have to go back. They're like, well, how will we know? How will we know who God is? How will we know? How will we keep that feeling? It's like leaving the bowl off Adara's head for a longer time. She reverts back to, well, this is the way it always is. No big deal. But here's my thought process. It's not just these big events where the heavens are torn open and God speaks and people hear it and all this stuff is going on. We got Elijah, we got Moses. We want to stay in those moments. What happens in between those big mountaintop experiences? Well, I made a list. Fortunately, I was thinking ahead. So, Jesus teaches. He teaches in the synagogue at Capernaum. While he's there, he just happens to throw out an unclean spirit that has been bothering a man. He teaches in the synagogue at Nazareth. They're not as happy about that. He heals people. Listen to all this. We've heard some of these stories over the last few weeks. He heals a leper. He heals a paraplegic. He heals a man with a crippled hand. He heals the Gerasene demoniac. We had that not too long ago. The hemorrhaging woman and the dead little girl he brings back to life. She's not just dying, she's dead. He heals a young girl with a demon. He heals a man who can't speak. He's doing all of these things in between these two big bookends here. See, remember we talked about the Markan sandwich last week? Okay, we've got another big one here. We've got the baptism, we've got the transfiguration, and in between we have the meat of the sandwich. And this is what's going on. And so Jesus does more teaching. Jesus stills the storm. He feeds 5,000, and then he goes on to make it even better, and he feeds 4,000 more. And this is just men. They didn't count the women and children who would have been there. He walks on water. He's doing all of these things. But the disciples see him as he is only in this moment of transfiguration. They aren't seeing him in those everyday moments of healing and teaching, showing that he is Lord of creation. They see it, it's a flash. They don't understand what it is telling them. All of those instances, including the two big bookends, are ways for Jesus to show us who God is. We get a glimpse into the power and majesty and compassion and kindness and forgiveness of God through Jesus' actions, through his words. It doesn't have to come as a big moment. In fact, there are many times when Jesus says, just keep this on the down low, guys. We don't need to be telling everybody about this. It comes quietly. It comes quietly like a baby in a manger. What I want to ask you today is whether or not Jesus is visible to you in this same way. Is God playing peekaboo with you? We have two baptisms today. Aurora and Sophia are going to see glimpses of God today. And they're going to see glimpses of God over their lifetimes if they know to look. And in the meantime, we see glimpses of God in the meal we will share. Everyone is welcome. We see God in this baptism. But where else do we see those glimpses of God? When we walk out those doors at the end of this service, where else do we see God? Do we have to be on a mountaintop? Do we have to be in church? No. Those are momentary times when we come together out of the world and declare our allegiance to the one who created us. So I'm going to ask you to pay attention. I asked our confirmation students this on Wednesday night as well. Pay attention. Where do you see glimpses of God? Where is the Holy Spirit working in your life? I was talking with my spiritual director on Friday, and I've had 2 weeks worth of constant Holy Spirit interaction. It's been amazing how things have happened. Look for that Holy Spirit movement in your life. Where is the Holy Spirit working in this community? Not just here, but in our community. Where do you see the face of Jesus so that you might do for the least of these as Jesus did for us? Mary talked about the nice things that we can do for others. When we see Jesus' face in all around us, we want to do that because it's the same as doing that for Jesus. This question is so important that as we go into this penitential season, we are looking for all the signs that God is with us and that we do not need to be afraid because God is at hand, shining that light, teaching us and healing us, standing with us, stilling the storm, walking on the water, doing the things we think we can't do, and saying, yeah, you can. Now go and do them. Amen. We're going to sing.